Hello, neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Epke, your host. This is the show where we hear from farmers, food processors, deep thinkers, and cider makers. Today, instead of talking about food, per se, we're talking about cider, a more liquid form of nutrition. But it's all part of the same project of building local capacity and celebrating regional flavors. Besides, the government says we should each have about 8 servings of fruits or vegetables every day. Does that mean 8 cups of cider?
If you want to get into agriculture, it's a long game.
Yeah.
You have to be incredibly patient, to be honest.
Craft beers and ciders and wines and liqueurs, they're certainly part of the whole local food movement. Today, we visit one such production facility. For those traveling across the island of Newfoundland, there are a few essential stops. Maybe you know them already. There's that convenience store with the great locally smoked salmon. There's that clean washroom with the gas station attached. Then that beautiful set of waterfalls just off the TCH to stretch your legs. Oh, and then there's that sublime Squid Rings food truck. And then there's Clarenville, with some stunning views and just enough businesses to beckon you off the highway for a spell. Next time you're in Clarenville, head toward the water and turn left. Just past a bridge at the end of the bay, you'll come across the Newfoundland Cider Company. Step in. We did on a warm August morning. Join us.
My name is Chris Adams, and we're actually in Shoal Harbour, and we're in our cider shop.
So tell me how you got inspired to start a cider company.
My wife, she's from Ireland, and we used to live there for a number of years. And during my time in Ireland, there was loads of ciders. And that's what I would drink, because I couldn't drink beer because it would give me a headache, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I would drink those. And then when we moved back here, I think it was about 8 years ago now, there were no ciders. Like, I couldn't find any. And but one thing I did notice was all the apples in this area in particular, and they were never used. They would always fall to the ground and rot, or they would go into ditches. They were more of a nuisance. So I looked at that and I said, you know, I'm just going to start making cider. So I did. I collected up the apples, learned how to make cider, and made cider for probably about 6 years or so. And each year it was getting better and better, and I was learning more and more about it. And then finally it was like, why don't I just do this as a job, you know? Because, yeah. Because you know, it's at the point where I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And so that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these are all local apples that you collect around? Or?
What we use is we use as much local as absolutely possible. We have, in Milton, we have access to about 50 to 100 trees. And a lot of them are growing wild along the old rail bed. I guess people years ago would throw their apple cores out and planted trees unknowingly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also in Milton, there were some old houses up and back of Milton. And after a while, when people die and families move away, the land gets neglected and no one claims it. And then all these old homesteads, the forests grow up around it. Mm-hmm. So there's apple trees everywhere throughout the forest in Milton.
Yeah.
And so we harvest those as well.
Yeah.
And then the locals also bring it. So we use a lot of local apples in our product. Our forager cider is strictly local. Nothing else goes in it, but local apples, local ingredients, whether it's pears or fruit or flowers or you name it, it's just local. But then our Old Till is our other brand that we have. That one there, we do bring in some apple juice from as close as possible, Nova Scotia. And to make that Newfoundland, we age it in barrels. We wild ferment it using Newfoundland wild yeast. So we try to infuse it with as much local Newfoundland character as possible.
Yeah. So Newfoundland wild yeast, are we like surrounded by not just water, but yeast as well?
Yeah, like it's like every apple or every fruit almost, I would say, they have a natural film of yeast just on the skin. And so when you break that down and juice it, the yeast gets mixed in with it. and it just naturally starts to ferment on its own, right? So all our barrels and stuff that we have all got that Newfoundland wild yeast embedded into it, right?
Yeah.
So then when we throw our other ciders in there, it just starts to ferment like that using the natural yeast, right?
So apples want to be cider.
Oh, they do. They want to. like you press an apple and you get lovely juice, but you leave it there and that's going to cider. Yeah. And then eventually it's going to vinegar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
What kind of response did you get at first? I know there are lots of apple trees that aren't used at all.
Yeah.
Did people say, "What are you? You know, why are you picking those apples?" Or,
yeah, they kind of did at first. They were like they were saying, "Yeah, what do you want that for?" And I tell them I'm making cider, and they don't know what it is. Like, it's unbelievable how many times I have to explain what cider is, and then. Sometimes people don't even really understand what I'm saying there. So I've tried to really simplify it and say it's like beer made from apples. So I tell them it's a cross between wine and beer in the sense that we make cider the same way you make wine, yeah. But our end product, we carbonate it like beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like this cross, you know?
Yeah. What's the difference between apple juice and cider?
Well, the difference is like apple juice... is just strictly the juice. Do you know, it's interesting, if you're from mainland Canada, apple juice is called cider, and then your cider is called hard cider. But if you're from here, cider is like the alcohol, and apple juice is the fresh pressed juice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a difference depending on where you're from, right?
Yeah. 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 So what's the response been like from the public now that you're available somewhat in the stores?
Well, we had our first release in February. Our first batch was sold out within a day, day or two.
Not bad.
Yeah. And then we released our second batch in March, and it was sold out in 20 minutes. Like, I think they were lined up at the NLC just grabbing it out of the truck, I think, from what I heard.
You're like a Bruce Springsteen concert.
Well, yeah, it seemed to be, yeah. And in April, it was the same thing. It took a couple of days, and it was gone.
Yeah.
And in May, I think... it may have lasted 15 minutes, you know, and in June, similar, was gone in a couple of days, July, again, yeah. Gone in a couple of days.
Yeah.
You still might be able to find some at Howley right now of our bigger bottle.
Okay.
And, but you won't find it anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But since we have a limited supply of apples here, you're at a certain level right now. You're happy with this, or do you have plans for...
Well, I'm happy with the level we're at right now, but both my business partner and I, we see the need to increase production a little bit because there is such a demand. Mm-hmm. And we do think that if we are to increase our production... and get some better equipment, it'll decrease our cost of production. Yeah. So then it becomes more viable. Because the way we are right now, our production is so small and so hands-on and so labor-intensive, we're able to get by.
Yeah.
But we do see the value of increasing production a little bit and getting the equipment that'll help reduce the labor cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but not going to the point where it's like we're... Bulmers or Strongbow or anything like that. We're not interested in that, right?
They're not too nervous yet.
No, 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 no.
So do you have a song in mind that I could play underneath some sort of a cider maker song?
The young fella that's hired on here, he plays country music all the time. I don't know. He got me drove nuts with that.
Yeah, I'll avoid country music.
No, I like country music. I do.
That's right.
There is an English song.
Yes.
That's called I Am the Cider Maker or something like that, I think.
Okay.
I don't know how it goes. My father used to play it for me when he knew I was doing this, right?
Yeah.
Well, I looked for a cider maker song, but had no luck. All I found was a curious song called I Am a Cider Drinker. However, I checked one more time with Chris, and he suggested Call It Dreaming by Iron and Wine.
Say it's here where our pieces fall in place. In the rain, softly kisses us on the face. Anywhere means we're running. We can sleep and see them coming. Where we drift and call it dreaming. We can weep and call it singing. hearts are strong enough. We can bow because our music's warmer than blood. Where we see enough to follow, we can hear when we are hollow. Where we keep the light we're given, we can lose and call it living. Where the sun isn't only sinking fast, every night knows how long it's supposed to last. Where the time of our lives is all we have, and when we get a chance to say before we ease away, for all the love you've left behind, you can have mine.
I'm speaking with Chris Adams, one of the partners of the Newfoundland Cider Company. This section we started with talking about the many, many species of apples.
There's a possibility that there are various subspecies of apples, various parts of the island, like the Northern Peninsula or whatever.
Yeah.
Is there a chance in the future of taking some sort of more regional variants too?
Yeah, we hope so. Actually, with regard to that, a few years back, when we would do our apple pressing, you'd always get lots of seeds left over in it, right? So we started collecting some of the seeds, germinating them, and we've been getting little seedlings, and now some of these seedlings are like a couple feet tall.
Yeah.
Through a little bit of research, we found out that there's over roughly about 8,000 varieties of apples in the world, and each seed contains a genetic makeup for every one of those.
Yeah.
So when you plant a seed, let's say it comes from a Cortland apple, you're not going to get a Cortland apple from that seed. You might get any one of the 8,000 varieties that's in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what we've done, we've taken hundreds of these seeds and we're planting them. And we are specifically looking for the varieties of trees that grow well here and that are going to produce the best cider apple. So to answer your question, we are hoping that, you know, down the road in a few years, we'll have trees that grow specific for this region. Like the flavor would be from this region, the growth pattern, everything would be just from this region. But I'm talking like 10, 15, 20 years down the road, you know.
Most orchards, I guess, would take slips or whatever to to reproduce.
They would do grafting. They would get a certain rootstock and they would graft a specific variety of apples into that, right? And we'll do that as well because we have 26 acres up in Milton that we're going to start developing now this year. And we're going to have a few acres of Newfoundland-grown trees, but then we're going to have a few acres of specific variety trees that are really good for cider making. And then we're also going to have pears, and we're also going to have other, you know, herbs and plants that we're going to use for doing different flavors in our ciders. Right.
Is there any chance of moving into like a pear cider or something?
A couple years ago we made pear cider and we actually that's a lie. We didn't make pear cider, we made perry. And the difference is pear cider is a cider, an apple cider, that's flavored with pear juice. But a perry is pear juice fermented out, and then you can either just have it dry or you can back sweeten it with more pear juice. So that the perry is just strictly pear, and that's what we made. And it is really good.
So you'd be part of, there's a movement, a growth, I don't know, of craft brewing of various sorts in this province. It sort of took a while to take off because we kept, you know, people go to Nova Scotia and say, well, why isn't this happening here?
Exactly.
In your case.
Yeah.
Is there a fair bit of collaboration, cooperation you're talking to the other?
Do you know, I don't know a lot of the brewers really well because like they're into the brewing and I'm into the cider. So it's like apples and oranges in some ways, right? Or apples and wheat.
Apples and barley.
Apples and barley. That's right. But I must say, like, we've had a little bit of dealings with Port Rexham Brewery.
Oh, yeah.
We
yeah.
did, gave them some of our raw cider, and they made a hybrid beer. I think they call it Graf, and it was called Oceans and Orchards, and it turned out fantastic. It was beautiful. And then also, like, if we have questions about carbonation or something like that, I've talked to their one of their brewers down there, Les, and they've been very helpful. And then out in town, the Yellow Belly head brewer, Liam, I'm always picking his brain because he makes a cider as well.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm always kind of picking his brain about things because he knows his stuff. So And there's a couple others, like the one over in Cornerbrook. We've talked to Bootleg Brewing Company. Yeah. They've been here. And they've been great.
Yeah.
There's a nice community, you know.
There's a lot of focus on trying to get new entrants into not just agriculture, but into what you're doing and brewing and so on. Would you have any suggestions about, some advice in terms of getting into this?
Yeah, you have to be incredibly patient, to be honest. Because we started this project in 2016. We put in applications for Crown Land and all this. We started that in 2016, and this is 2018. And we literally just got our okay to start cutting to put in an orchard. And in fact, we really don't have it as of yet because we just found out that it's on the approval desk for us to get our deed, but we don't have it. So really, we're not allowed. We have to wait. But we've called, you know, our MHA. We've called different departments. We've called everyone trying to push it ahead. We've hit every roadblock that is absolutely possible to hit and every delay. So my advice is just be patient.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest piece of advice, really. And don't give up. If it's something you really want to do, just be persistent and keep going with it.
Yeah. So access to land, we've heard a number of times, and that's an issue. So once you get the land, you're going to have to do some clearing, planting.
Yeah.
So it is a long game.
It is a long game. It if you want to get into agriculture, it's a long game.
Say it's here where our pieces fall in place. We can fear because our feelings find to betray. From healing, we can laugh without a reason, cause the sun isn't only sinking fast, every moon in our bodies makes shining lands, where the time of our lives is all we have, and we get a chance to say, before we ease away.
Chris Adams was trained as a forester, and now he's a cider maker. That seems like a pretty reasonable career path to me. Nothing there to frighten a parent. After all, cider makers need to know all about trees. We start out this section talking about how they try to find out what people want from their cider, and the fact that regulations themselves can sometimes create a barrier between producers and consumers.
Do they ask questions about your product when you just meet
them? Well, do you know, some people do, because like really up until really right now, we weren't given permission to sell our product direct to people. It was only the NLC would buy it from us, and then they would tell us where they would want to put. So there was no communication between us, the makers, and the consumer, right? But right now, last week, we've been given approval to sell right from here. And they told us we're trailblazing cider in Newfoundland. Like, we're the first ones to ever be able to sell closed bottles of cider outside of the NLC. And we're also going to do what they call growlers here as well. And they said it's the first, we're the first ones to ever be able to do that. So over the past week, you know, different ones have found out about that, and they've been coming in, and so they're starting to get that kind of relationship where people are asking us about our product and what's in it and how's it made, and they're really interested. They like that it's local. They like that there's no unnecessary ingredients going into it, and they like that, you know, it's a regional product from this area.
Yes.
And the fact that if someone starts making a cider over on the West Coast or even out in St. John, it's going to be different than what we're doing here, right?
Yeah.
And they're really, and lots of people like that it's gluten-free.
Okay.
Yeah, like they really are into that because they can't drink beer. yep. because of the gluten. Yep. But they could drink our ciders, the ones that we don't barrel age in whiskey barrels.
Right.
They could drink, right?
Do people want to have the same taste every time they open a bottle? Because my sense is that maybe your cider is of a natural nature, and so it's going to slightly vary, maybe from year to year or whatever.
Do you know... That's something that we keep talking about because my business partner and I, sometimes we worry that people might get tired of our ciders because they do change.
Yeah.
Because our ciders are alive, yes. basically.
Yeah.
We don't kill them. And, you know, they will change depending on the season or the month they were picked, the blend that we use, because we don't always use the same blend because we don't know the apple varieties we're using. It's like whatever comes, you know, that's what we're doing. And so we've tried hard to make a couple of our ciders that we make uniform, trying very hard to get the recipe right and follow the same thing. But even when you do that, it's slightly different.
Yeah.
So far, people have been following us on this and they seem to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But then there are some of those people that are asking for, when are you going to come out with another batch of this, another batch of that?
Right.
And it's like... Don't know yet. Yeah, when we figure it out, yeah. Or next year this time, you know.
Yeah, if we go back to the same trees.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right?
But it seems like that's almost an advertising. That's like, it's alive, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? Like we don't add loads of, sulfites and stuff. Yes. Like, we do have to add so many.
Yeah.
But we add the smallest amount possible.
Yeah.
So if somebody has one of our ciders home and they're saving it, it's going to taste different. If you bought two and you drank one right away and you wait a couple months, that cider is going to taste completely different because those little yeast in there, they're going to start working again, right?
Yeah.
And they'll change the profile of the cider. It might make it more carbonated, might make it more like farmhouse tasting.
Yeah.
It might make it more complex. It's evolving. Yeah.
What's your favorite cider?
I really, really, really like all my ciders.
Okay.
It's like, in one sense, they're like my children.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's hard to choose.
Which taste you like best?
Exactly. But if I absolutely had to choose and could only have one, it would be our very, very first cider. I'll show you a bottle of it there now. It's an empty bottle. I wish it was full.
So you'll never have more of it.
No, we will.
Oh, you will.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's this one here. It's it's our 2016 barrel aged cider.
Oh, okay.
And it's our forager.
Yeah.
So it's made strictly from local apples. Nothing else in it but Newfoundland wild apples.
Yeah.
And it's barrel aged in a bourbon barrel. This one here is a bourbon barrel that we got from Nova Scotia, and it aged for 2 years, or I think it was a year and a half, or almost 2 years, I think.
Do you think that the palate, since people are more used to sort of craft beers with different tasting things, is more ready for this sort of thing than maybe 20 years ago when people were drinking the same beer all the time?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. Like, I noticed that even with the ciders right now, like, in the short time that we've been producing, when people started drinking ciders here, it's always like that real sweet, highly carbonated cider.
Yeah.
Like a commercial cider, and it tastes fine. Don't get me wrong. Like I don't want to say anything bad about any cider, but you know, like that was people's profile, right?
Yeah.
But since we've come on, we're slowly decreasing the sweetness.
Yeah.
Because as a cider maker, I really like dry cider. I like it more like a wine, to be honest. That's how I like it, and I like it less carbonated. I like it just ever so gently carbonated, really dry, and I can really taste the flavor of the apple, flavor of the earth, you know, like in there, right? And that's what I like.
Yeah.
I don't want to cover it with sweetness.
Yeah.
So we're slowly, I guess, educating people on cider. And when people come in to see us, we'll be able to talk about that. I'm kind of excited about having people come in and talk about cider, you know?
Yeah. Is there going to be, like in craft beer, we've gone to this race to more and more hops as much as possible, whatever. Is there going to be the same thing in cider? Is there a kind of an ingredient that people want that...
What do you know?
This goes over the top.
I really don't know because I'm not sure. We are using lots of ingredients just because we want to be experimental.
Yes.
Like the craft brewers, like we're using, we have a batch coming out now in I think 2 or 3 weeks, and we are using just like really off the wall ingredients.
Yeah.
We're doing a rose and red currant cider, that blend.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're doing elderflower and rhubarb. We're doing spruce tip and molasses. Mm-hmm. We're doing blackcurrant and lavender, and we're doing a lilac cider.
Mm-hmm.
And like real experimental, because when people drink our cider, we want to engage all their senses.
Yeah.
We want to, you know, the aroma, the taste, you know, hearing it even, you know, and seeing the different colors in your hand.
Yeah.
Like we want to engage everyone's senses, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, we're trying to.
That's very exciting. Those flavors,
because
they're local as well.
Oh, they are. They're all local. Yeah. All grown in Milton, just up the road there.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. And then we're also going to do just like regular fruit flavors as well, because we have sour cherry, or it's a wild cherry we're calling it, where we blend sour cherries and choke cherries together.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to have honey again, because my brother, he has bees, and so we're going to do a honey cider, or maybe even try a mead.
Yeah.
And blueberry, you know, we're going to try our hand at that and do it a little bit different than what has been done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just different things like that, right?
I'm excited about that because and this is only a very personal, subjective thing, but I found that the blueberry wines haven't really done it for me.
No, I know
so
what you mean.
So it would be nice to use blueberries for a drink that is a bit more successful for some people.
Yeah, and that I kind of feel the same way. I don't want to say anything about it yet because I don't know if it's going to work.
Is there any chance, you talked about a number of the local products you're using, but the cranberries would be part of the mix?
Oh, it would be lovely to have cranberries as part of the mix, it hasn't been something I'd think of, but it wouldn't be something that I would shy away from, you know?
You need secondary processing of cranberries because there's none really.
Yeah.
There's one very small with honey, but... But that's one of the challenges for cranberries, is how to get value added on that, and we grow them.
Well, you know, last year, just for myself, I made a cider using red currants.
Mm-hmm.
And after it was done, there was like a cranberry kind of, I know it's a different fruit, but there was kind of a cranberry kind of tartness there that I really liked. And I must say, I wonder now, thinking about it, would cranberries be, something that I could use?
Yeah. So this is Monday morning. What's on the agenda for a cider maker for a day like today?
Well, today it's bottling. That's it.
So you're getting a robotic bottling system?
Oh, yeah. We're all high tech. No, it's very hands-on, one bottle at a time. And we even carbonate it one bottle at a time and cap it and place it in the box.
Yeah.
And so we're busy doing that. We got... 100 dozen that we're hoping to have done by end of today.
Well, Christopher, thanks so much for taking time out of your bottle.
Oh, no problem.
And now I can turn the recorder off and buy something.
Oh, very good. Very good.
And we did buy some cider, but not one of the bottles that he'd just been getting ready. You see, the Newfoundland Liquor Corporation had not yet told him what the price was for that cider, and so he couldn't sell any to me. If you make anything, could you imagine having to wait for a government department to tell you how much you have to charge for it on your own premises? But as he said, patience, patience, it's a long game. This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food and Drink Show. If you have questions or comments, email me at fittoeatnl@gmail.com. To listen to other episodes or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The music today was Call It Dreaming from Iron and Wine, as requested by Chris Adams. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was done this week by Dave Hum. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications with the support of the Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Agriculture and Food First NL. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Drink as local as you can. That way you can walk home. Happy trails.
Our ciders are alive, basically.
Yeah.
We don't kill them.